Now, you can tell our set is a little different today. And we're really finishing up from a message that we did last week. And I would recommend that if you were not here last week, that you go online and click on the sermon that precedes this one. Because I think it's an important introduction to what we're going to go over today. We're going to go over some of the nuts and bolts, but I think it's very important for us to understand the importance of what we're going to be talking about with a quiet time. Adrian Rogers right here, he says, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Boy, it is hard not to be busy in life, isn't it? You've got demands everywhere you go, and it's fulfilling to meet those responsibilities. So it's just built inside of us that drive that we want to be occupied, we want to do things, we want to achieve things, we want to fulfill the purposes that we have put before us, and it's hard not to be really, really busy in our society. But God wants us to be quiet. Because in the rush of life, it is really difficult to hear God. I have known people who are very, very devoted Christians who serve fervently and sacrificially, come to a point where they have spun their wheels so much and they have given so much, they feel like they're just give out. And all of a sudden they turn around and they think, well, where am I? What's happened? It feels like I've lost touch with God. And worship always comes before service. And service without a heart that's captured in worship will always end up in burnout, no matter how well-intentioned. And so we have to guard against Satan trying to get us to be too busy for God, too busy for our relationship with God. Because any relationship, if it's not kept up, it'll start to deteriorate. It'll start to fall away. So we're looking at how to have a quiet time. And that's a difficult thing for most people. It's been a difficult thing for me during my life. I have struggled with how to have a quiet time, what to do in the quiet time, how I view the quiet time, why my quiet time is not what I want it to be. And I think I have learned a few things over the years, and I want to share them with you. I know there are people in this room who probably are better at having a rich, deep, quiet time than I am. I think some of it has to do with the way our lives go. I was speaking with a man 2 days ago. No, I take that back. It was a little bit longer than that, but you'll have to forgive me because you know my memory. In the recent future, I was talking with a man who was going through some very, very difficult times. And he called me up and he said, I just want you to know I'm okay. Because he knew, I knew he was really struggling. He said, I just want you to know I'm okay. I have had some long, long talks with God. And I am grateful and I'm okay. That's how you get there. Sometimes it's difficult for people to be in that place, and some of us wish we could experience that kind of touch from God, like some of us do really in relationship to our suffering. And we're going to talk a little bit about quiet time here. Quiet time is not Bible study, although you will use your Bible in a quiet time. But it's not Bible study. And most of us have had Bible studies. And when you go to study the Bible, you are digging into that to try to find out what God has for you, to gain wisdom from God, to gain comfort from God, to gain understanding from God, to gain knowledge of God. And you're studying to find Christ in those scriptures. And that is a necessary thing. But that's not the type of Bible study that we do in a quiet time. Actually, our quiet time drives us to have Bible study like that. But most of you in this room are like me. You have endeavored to have Bible studies like that to gain that closeness, gain that knowledge of God. And there gets to be that point where it becomes burdensome and laborsome. All of a sudden you just feel like it's just dry. I'm reading my Bible. Some of you have been very disciplined. I'm reading my Bible 15 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day or an hour a day. I've known people who read their Bible an hour a day. And it can become dry. And you feel like God's not speaking to me as I go through that. Prayer. You can't have a quiet time without prayer. But your quiet time is not what most people think of as prayer. I never take a prayer list into a Bible study. I don't ever go into a Bible study or to a quiet time with an agenda for prayer. Now, there's times that I have a prayer list. And I have certain times that I pray. I've got a place that's, in town that's a certain house of a member of ours that at one time was really struggling physically. And that just became a kind of a spot for me that as I pass that place, I pray for the sick in our church. Well, you know sometimes how forgetful I can be. There's times where I drive over there and, oh, I lost my keys. I could drive back here. Oh, I forgot my Bible. Oh, I could drive back here. Next thing you know, I'm driving 8 times in 2 hours past this place. And somehow the prayers that I'm doing for the sick are not the same as I get down 6, 8 times through there as it was on the first one. How many of you ever experienced that? You got a prayer list. You got people that burden your heart. You want to pray for them. And you're praying for them, and you're praying for them, and you want to pray for them, but after you've prayed for them, and prayed for them, and prayed for them, and prayed for them, and prayed for them, you start to realize, I'm praying the same prayer over and over, and it becomes repetitious, and it starts to lose meaning, and all of a sudden now, I feel like I've got to pray for them. I'm praying out of duty. I'm not praying out of a freshness and a love and a concern for them out of my heart. I'm praying out of a duty. And I want my prayer time. I'm dismal. I want to pray, but all of a sudden, I don't feel God in the prayer. And so, our quiet time is going to involve prayer, but it's not a prayer time as far as petitioning God, asking God for things. That doesn't mean that you won't do that in your quiet time, but that's not the agenda that you come into it with. I like what Adrian Rogers says. He says, God doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. Everybody's not as close to God as everybody else. Some people are very close to God, and some people seem to have a distant type relationship with God. Intimacy with God is something that has to be developed. And God is always here. God is in this room right now. His Spirit is filling this room. And God is speaking, but not everyone can hear. Not everyone feels his presence. Some of you, as we just got done worshiping in this worship service, had tears that came to your eyes because of the presence of God. Some of you did not feel God at all. And it's the development of intimacy that comes into our lives that is important, and we develop intimacy with God. It's not like he's trying to find us. He knows right where we are. Our attention has to be turned on him. Probably the man in the scriptures that all of us envy his relationship with God, a man that the Bible says is a man after God's own heart, a person who was close to God, even though he was certainly as weak as all of us. And some of us can stand and say, I've lived a better life than this man lived. And yet, I could not write the Psalms like he did. My intimacy with God is not like his. But he says this, the one thing I ask of the Lord. Now this is interesting because this is coming from a man who has an understanding of what God's heart is. The one thing I ask the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Delighting in the Lord's perfections. I like King James a little bit better. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To look at his perfections, all of the great things about him. To see those things. To delight in who he is. That's what I desire. That's the one thing I ask for. Let me come into your house. Let me live in your presence. Let me see how great you are. Let me be filled with joy in your presence to know how wonderful you are and that I'm your child and that you love me and that we are together. And meditate in the temple, the place where God is, that my mind is filled with who God is. And my thoughts mull over and over his greatness, who he is, his desires for me, and who I am as his child. And how thankful and grateful that I am that the living God, the King of the universe, has adopted me into his family. It's worship. A quiet time is a worship time. It's not a study time. It's not a petition time. It's a worship time. It's a personal worship time. The power of our Bible study and the power of our prayers will be determined upon our intimacy with God. And that doesn't happen while we're asking him for things or where we're trying to get even knowledge from him. It happens when we are in his presence and we experience him. Love can only be cultivated adequately in aloneness with the one you love. That's why the first principle of prayer that Jesus gives us is that you got to be in your what? Your closet. That's why he went to isolated places. He wanted no distractions but to be alone to experience God. And that quiet time is not for us. It's for him. We come there for him. Now, because of our love relationship, God will take care of us. But that's not first on our agenda, what we need. What's first on our agenda is to know him. We had this verse, and I'm not going to go through this verse like we did last week, but I just want to hit the one factor that's important with what we're going to look at in a quiet time. Whoever has my commands, Jesus says, and obeys them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him too, and I will show myself to him, or I will reveal myself, some translations say. The quiet time is about God revealing himself to us. And Jesus tells us that that can't be done without the Word. So your Bible has got to be a part of your quiet time. And it starts with submission. Therefore, submit to God. And we submit to God by obeying him. Sometimes we have people that have struggles all the time with a quiet time and getting to know God or feeling like God's presence is with them. But they're not submitted to him. And I will just tell you, you will never develop a deep, intimate relationship with God if there is any part of your heart that is not wanting to listen to what he says. And if you don't want to hear parts of what he's going to say, you're not going to have a thirst for his word. You're not going to have a thirst for him to reveal himself in your word. So submission is that first part. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And of course, in between it says resist the devil, because he doesn't want you to be alone with God. He wants to distract us. He wants to pull us away. But the power of God speaking to us is in that word. And it's in that word coming alive to us. Here's what Hebrews 12:4, 12, and 13 says. For the word of God is living and active. Now, this is one of the times that I like the New King James, the King James, or New Living a little bit better. I like the word powerful, and most of you have memorized this verse this way, because the word of God is living and it's active, it's powerful. It acts in our life. It was written thousands of years ago. Jesus' words written over 2,000 years ago. But those words live. Those words were spoken to be heard today with the same power they were spoken to be heard 2,000 years ago. And what God intends for us is not an academic study of the Bible. But what he wants is for us to hear that word as spoken to our hearts in our situation. And he wants that word to come alive and transform us, just like it did the disciples. And what's recorded of his words, the Bible says, is alive, it's living, and it's active. It's got the power to reveal God's voice to us. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. The soul is who we are. The spirit is what God puts in us. Sometimes my soul pulls me away. Sometimes my spirit directs me to God. I've got to choose between the two. God's word cuts through to let me see where he's calling and where the world is calling. Cuts to the joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. When is the last time you came before God and felt completely open and exposed to him? That is an important part of our quiet time. That we are, as the King James says, naked before him. There's nothing in our life we are covering up. We don't want the kind of relationship we have with some people where we cover up who we really are. And we let them see the parts that make them think that we're better than we really are. And all of us have relationships with people like that. Those are not intimate relationships. The intimate relationships we have are with the people who know who we are. We're open. They know our secrets. We were vulnerable. We told them our secrets. And they didn't use it against us, which we were afraid they would. And because of that, we have a great love and bond with those people. We have a trust with those people. And that relationship is different. And our relationship with God needs to be the same way. Jesus tells us the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. This is very difficult for us because we have a desire to live life with the soul, not with the spirit. And we've got a tendency to default to the soul all the time. That's why Jesus says, that which is of the spirit is of the spirit, that which is of the flesh is of the flesh. I have had lots of Bible study and prayer that was of the flesh. That means it was dependent upon my determined devotion to make sure that I did what God wanted me to do. I was dedicated, and I carved out that time, and I was going to pray for an hour if it killed me. And sometimes it felt like it did. Sometimes it was almost impossible not to fall asleep because the flesh cannot fulfill what God desires for us. In my own ability, I cannot pray well enough. I cannot do enough to earn God's response. I cannot serve enough to earn God's pleasure. I can't be good enough that God would come to me, that he would answer me, that he would do what I want. Now, the flesh tries to do that. The spirit sets us free to respond to God. We don't have God come to us because of the discipline we have. We go to him because of the great grace that he shows. We go to him because of the love he pours out to us. We go to him because he accepts rather than rejects us. He doesn't judge us on how good we did. His love frees us to be the best we can be in his arms, and he allows us to grow in his love because of our knowledge of him. So the Father's seeking people who worship him in spirit. And I'll tell you, most of my life I have tried to discipline myself to worship the Father in the flesh. In my own strength. Be spiritual enough. And it always seems to turn dry after a while. And I know I'm not the only one in this room who's experienced that same thing. I see some smiles on some people's faces because you can relate to that. The idea is not to be distracted by the devil into those things. Your prayer life and your Bible study is not a burden that God put on you that you've got to live up to, or else he's not going to bless you as being spiritual enough. God wants to free you to the point that you really do pray constantly, because being with him is so great, you never want to separate. And when you feel God's presence and you see a need, the two are connected, and prayer is a natural thing that comes out of your quiet time and your intimate relationship with God. I don't make myself pray more. The more I know God, I can't help but pray. And I feel like I can't pray enough, because I cannot seem to ever get enough of that Spirit. I never can fill up all the freedom that God gives me. But we worship in spirit and we worship in truth. And the truth is his word. And so praying scripture is an important part of your quiet time. And so we're going to talk just a little about quiet time. I'm going to try to, do this. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to try to just let you see a little bit about what I do in my quiet time. And this is not Bible study time, although the Bible is there. But I come in with no agenda. Like, I've got a Bible here, and you can tell that this Bible has been marked up and it's been read through, and it's got stuff in it that falls out. But what I do in my quiet time is whatever's up next. That's what the quiet time is. Because I don't have an agenda when I go to the quiet time. Now, there are times I study my Bible because I want to know certain things, or I need comfort, or I need guidance, and I need things like that. But when I go to the quiet time that I've got out, I don't have an agenda. My agenda is this. I want to hear whatever you've got to say. My agenda is I want to spend time with you. I want to know you. And I don't have to worry about wanting to know his truth if I know him. And so it goes that other way. But I want you to think as we start, this is the difficult part that's going to be here. I'm going to pretend like I'm having a quiet time, although this is not really a closed-in place. It's not a closet, okay? The other thing is, too, is my quiet time is between me and God. And you can see me, but you can't see God. So I'm going to have to just put in the thing that you're going to have to fill in that gaps of the back and forth, because you can hear me, but you can't hear God speak what he's going to say, okay? Just to kind of set that stage, I do, I don't do quiet time in the same place all the time. Sometimes I like to do it on the porch. When I'm on my porch, I pray. I have my eyes open the whole time. Sometimes I like to do it up there or here. When I do that, I have my eyes open. I don't know. There's something about this place right here. I can experience God with my eyes open. Some places I get in, I feel like I need my eyes closed most of the time when I'm not reading from the Bible. That's okay too. A good place to do a quiet time is on a walk, if you can do it with no earphones, because that is a place where you are alone. But I'm going to give you this verse before I take a look at going through some verses, and I'm going to go through the first part and kind of let you see kind of the way I converse through the scripture, and then at the end I'm going to leave some pauses, and I'm going to put the scripture there, and I'm going to let you kind of try to block everything out, and I'm going to try to let you worship through in your time with me. But before we start, I want you to think of this verse right here. I love the way it's written in the New Living Translation, the best. Some of them say, the Lord's thoughts are with me. Some of them say different things. But this one says, the Lord is thinking about me right now. And that's how I would say it. That's why I love this version. So before we do anything, I want you just to try to be silent, try to clear your mind of all the things you're thinking about, and think this one thought. God is thinking about you right now. You're sitting here. You may or may not be thinking about him, but he is thinking about you. And so pause for just a minute, and in your heart, just mull that thought over. Just open yourself to God and the realization that he is thinking about you, and allow his presence to start to settle in your life. Become aware of his presence. Well, let me just start off, and I'm going to pray. Father, I am so grateful. I am so grateful for you, for your presence in my life. I just come to you right now, and I just ask you to open my heart and to speak to me. Your voice is the only voice that I'm interested in hearing. You love me more than I can imagine, and I want to love you with the same love. So I ask you to speak to me, and I ask you to reveal yourself to me. Now, the next thing I'll do is I'll start to read through Scripture. And I'll read through it slowly, and I'll just see how God is speaking to me. And so what I've got right here is this New Living Translation version of one of the songs that we sung. And so I'm just going to read to you, and I'm going to kind of pray back. And maybe as you listen, you can imagine or hear God speaking to you what he would say in your hearts in return. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he's done for me. God, you have been so good to me. And I want to praise you with my whole heart. I want you to just take that heart. I don't want it to be divided or captivated by anything but you. Because you have been so good to me. Father, there have been times when my life was so opposite of what you wanted. And it would have been so easy for you to give up on me. And yet you waited. And you were always working. You spoke to me. You drew me to you. You gave me a new life. You gave me my family. You brought me here to be by my parents, to enjoy my dad's last days, to be with my mother, to watch my boys grow up and seek to put you first, to see my wife blossom, to see the strength you put in her, to be able to serve you at this church. Lord, you have been good to me. All I want is to follow you. You take me to good places. He forgives all my sins. Father, you have forgiven my sins, and there are many. I don't understand how you could forgive me. Some of the things I've said, some of the things I've done, places I've gone, show me your heart. How can you forgive me?
mercy. Your heart is beyond. It's beyond comprehension. But I thank you. I thank you that you forgive me. I thank you that you love me. You heal all my diseases. You have brought me through so many things. And one day you'll heal everything. But no matter what has happened, you've brought my heart through that. And I thank you. I count on you. You're the one I look to for every day I have, for every hour I live, for every breath I take. It's a gift from you. Thank you. He ransoms me from death. Now I'm moving a little faster because you're here and it feels awkward to leave a pose, but I want you to just take a moment as we go through that and think about that. God needs to speak to us there. He ransoms me from death. Think about what Christ did to buy you back from a place where you could not feel his presence. Hear God speaking to you that he would give everything for you. That all the suffering on that cross was worth it to him for you for this moment. That he paid that price willingly, and that he would pay it again to have a relationship with you. Father, I can't comprehend why you would ransom yourself for me. What worth do I have? What value do I have that would be worth the death of your son? Thank you. That is so, I can never deserve, never understand how you surround me with those, that love and that mercy. Your love and your mercy are beyond my understanding. Now I'm just going to let you take this one here. I'm just going to read it, and I want you just to take a few moments and just meditate what God is saying to you. Let God speak. His word says, he fills my life with good things. Well, God does fill our life with good things. And he does renew our life. And I'm not going to go through the rest of this because of time. But you can see, if you're in a quiet time, once you start to lose yourself in what God is saying and you allow that word to become real to you, when you ask that question of why God would give you good things, and somehow from the presence of God in your life, you hear that answer. Sometimes it may be one word. It may just be, I love you. But you heard God say, I love you. You didn't hear a preacher say, God loves you. You didn't read it in a book. You were in the presence of a living God that said, I will take care of you. I love you. I am with you. There's no substitute in our Christian lives for that. And I'll tell you what happens with our quiet times. Instead of saying, I'm going to discipline myself to read and study my Bible and pray for 15 minutes, what happens is we say, I've got to find some time to shut it off and be alone with God. I've got 15 minutes. I've got 20 minutes. And look what happens to the time. I was there an hour. Now I'm going to have to depend on God to help me get done the things I didn't do that I was supposed to do 40 minutes ago. But it's an experience with God, and that's how our Christian lives are supposed to be. Now I'm going to ask the band to come in, and I'm going to skip through this. But you can experience it anywhere in God's word that you want. And all of this has lots to say. We'll look at that last one right there. Let all that I am praise the Lord. When your heart says that, when you feel like, God, this is how you are, this is what you feel, this is what you do, this is what you've done for me, let everything that's in me just say, you're great. Thank you. Thank you. When our hearts are like that, everything else falls in place. Everything is alive to us because God is alive to us. It's not of the flesh, and it's not a duty, and it's not a burden. It is a joy that we can't wait to experience. So I want to ask you this question before we sing and praise God. Do you have a relationship with God? Now I know if I asked you the question, is your relationship good enough? All of us, including me, would say no. No. But the starting point is, do you have a relationship with God? When you think of salvation, is what we're talking about what you think about? When we talk about salvation, do you think about not having to go for hell because Christ died to pay for your sins, and so a legal transaction happened, and you don't have to go to hell because Christ did this? And you've accepted that, so now you can live your life the best that you can, and when you die, you'll go to heaven. If you're thinking that way, you need to think about what the purpose of salvation is all about. Christ came to die to adopt you into his family, to bring you into a relationship, to bring you into his kingdom, to bring you into his presence. And salvation is about knowing him, and that is the desire of our heart. If the desire of our heart is to not go to hell, or not experience bad things because God will bless me because I'm complying in some areas, then we need to stop and ask ourselves, have I really heard from God? Because God wants you not to control your behavior. He wants your heart. And so as we talk about these things, the first thing that you need to ask yourself is this. Do I have a real relationship with God? Have I ever seen myself as separated from him and felt that call that says, if I don't give my heart and life to him, I will be lost. I'll be separated from him. It's not about his blessings. And it's not about him taking care of me or keeping me from punishment. It's about the fact that I don't know him. And I want to know him. I want to follow you. That's what Christ died for. That's why the veil was split in half. And he paid the price for every sin that we've ever committed. And he paid the price for our attitude that says, I'm not interested. And he opened the door and showed God's heart of love to say this, I want you. I want a relationship with you. Now, for the first time, God is speaking to you, and you are sitting there and you are realizing, I don't know God, and I have never come to a place where God has spoken to me and said, you don't know me. Because remember, many will come at that day, and what is Jesus going to say? I don't what? Know you. And they're going to say, well, we ate at your table, and you preached in our streets. And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never what? Knew you. That's what salvation's about. It's about knowing God. So I'm just going to pray right now. And if you feel God moving in your heart, you can pray with me. But let's just pray. Father, I don't understand how, but right now I am aware that you are here. And I know you are calling me to respond to your presence. And I know that I am not connected with you. That I've lived my life for myself. And at this moment, you're calling me. And I can see in the death of Jesus Christ how much you love me. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to live my life apart from you. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Open my eyes to see you as you really are. Fill my life with the love of Christ. And make me your child. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.